In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. We do this broadcast live. It was Jesus Christ of Nazareth that healed the man that was crippled. The name above every other name, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, hallelujah. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders. It has become the keystone. As I said last week, the keystone is in the arch. It holds the arch together. We are only held together in Jesus. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. It's the name of Jesus. I get so upset when people take his name in vain. He's never done anything wrong, only good things. And people swear, and people give us cuss words in the name of our Lord. It's evil, it's wrong. Never, never. Now when they saw, this is the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the boldness of Peter and John, and realized that they were uneducated and ordinary men. As I said to you, they might have been uneducated, but they were not ordinary. They were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh yes, oh yes. I'm going to tell you, when God called me, I was just an ordinary person. But I tell you, he made me into an extraordinary person by his grace. Oh yes, by his grace. Oh, not by my grace, but by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. You too, if you love Jesus, you are an extraordinary person. God wants to use you, work with you in the name of Jesus, that we would use that holy name to bring healing to people. They were amazed when they saw that these men were ordinary, uneducated men. They were amazed and recognized them as companions of Jesus. Do people recognize us as companions of Jesus? Do they recognize you as a companion of Jesus? Companion means compane, to eat bread with. Oh yes, this morning we had the Eucharist, a companion of Jesus. A companion of Jesus, a companion of Jesus. When they saw the man who had been cured standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. What can they say? They knew this man by the beautiful gate. They knew this man, and now he's walking and jumping and leaping and praising God. So they ordered them to leave the council while they discussed the matter with one another. Oh yes, they're going to discuss the matter of this man's legs being healed with one another. They said, what will we do with them? For it is obvious to all who live in Jerusalem that a notable sign has been done through them. They saw the man who had sat by the beautiful gate for years and years and years expecting to receive alms. Now he's jumping, he's walking, he's praising God. He's got to get a job now. No more sitting at the beautiful gate getting money for his family. Now he's got to get a job. We cannot deny it, but to keep it from spreading further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name, let me tell you. I cannot but speak in the name of Jesus. I had a lady call me today, Camilla. She's an elderly woman, and she loves the Lord Jesus Christ. She says, I try to share Jesus with people, and they think that I've had four heads. I said, keep on doing it. Keep on doing it. Share Jesus with people. So they call them and order them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. You're not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, whether it is right in God's sight to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. We cannot keep from speaking about what we have seen and heard. We cannot keep. We're not going to listen to you. We're not going to listen to you. We're not going to listen to you. You know, we've been shut up in our houses for over a month. I wonder if that was God's will. I wonder. Or was it the will of the governor? I wonder. Now we are facing a great depression because people have been let go of their jobs. We had the greatest economy in the world before this flu or virus. After threatening them again, they let them go. They threatened them, finding no way to punish them. Why? Because of the people, for all of them praised God for what had happened to the man that was crippled. For the man on whom this sign of healing had been performed was more than 40 years old. That's an old person then. Now he's jumping and leaping and praising God. Oh yes. I remember when I was a little boy, I was in my brother's bedroom, sleeping. But before I fell asleep, I remember saying what my uncle said, that the guy that was fixing our ceilings was a holy jumper, Pentecostal. And I said, oh, we've got a holy jumper in our house. And God spoke to me, do not speak evil of my people. I was just a little boy. And he told me, do not speak evil of my people. I shut my mouth. Little did I know I'd be the person that would lead so many people to the Pentecostal experience, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. After they were released, Peter and John, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and elders had said to them. In other words, don't preach in the name of Jesus anymore. When they heard it, they raised their voices. You know, I'd say, we'd be coming back saying, poor me, I was persecuted, poor me. But they raised their voices together to God and said, Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth, the sea and everything in them, it is you who said by the Holy Spirit through our ancestor David that your servant, why do the Gentiles rage and the peoples imagine vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers have gathered together against the Lord and against his Messiah. Yes, you better watch out what you do with Jesus. He is the Lord and he is the Messiah. For in this city, in fact, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, gathered together against your holy servant, Jesus, whom you anointed to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined him to take place. Oh, yes. As I said before Adam and Eve, the second person in the Blessed Trinity has decided to come on the earth and die on a cross so that we, you and I, would have eternal life as we allow the blood of Jesus to wash us clean. Oh, yes. It was already arranged. Already arranged. People say, you know, the father was cruel. The father didn't do anything that the son didn't want. He wanted that, and he said, when I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. Do you know that? That you were drawn into the broken heart of Jesus on the cross. Do you know that today he shows the Father his wounded hands and feet, and he's praying for you today? My prayer partner today is the Lord Jesus Christ. What about you? And now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants to speak your word with all boldness. Make us bold, O Lord. If we've been bold before, make us even more bold while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Oh yes, not only is he the Lord, but stretch out your hand. Make us bold. Do signs and wonders in the holy name of Jesus, the servant of God. When they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken. It was like a second Pentecost. The place was shaken. Oh, how we need to be shaken in the United States of America. We kill our children from the womb. We've accepted marriage between same-sex people. How we need to be shaken. Is what is happening now trying to shake us? I hope so, that we learn from this. I hope so, that we learn from this. But you know what? Unfortunately, I don't think we're going to. Unfortunately, the Lord has shared something else with me, and I'm not going to share it with you yet. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. How bold are we? We say we're doing pre-evangelization. The apostles did not do pre-evangelization. They evangelized people in the name of Jesus, that Jesus died for our sins, that he was buried and rose from the dead. We are very, very careful. We don't want to turn people off. I tell you, we've not turned them on. We've not turned them on. When I was a little boy, at least I was churched, ready to be given to Jesus. I was baptized and I was living out my faith the best way that I knew how, until someone told me about Jesus, that he could become a real person in my life, and that he could change me by the grace of God. Oh, ever since that day I have spoken the word in boldness, in boldness. That's why the little girl that had her father healed, a hope healed, had her father who took a stroke called Father Tom. She should be calling the people in her own parish, because this gift of healing has been given to people, and not only to Father Tom. Now the whole group of those who believed what? In Jesus, were of one heart, one soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Oh yes, you preach Jesus, you're going to have great grace upon you. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought them the proceeds of what was sold to the feet of the apostles. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as had been in need. there was a Levite, a native of Cyprus, Joseph, to whom the apostles gave the name Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. Are you a Barnabas? Am I a Barnabas? Do I encourage people? I want to encourage you today to give your whole life to Jesus. I want to encourage you today to read your Bible. I want to encourage you today that when this is all over, that you go to confession. I want to encourage you today. Oh yes, I want to encourage you today. I want to be Barnabas to you. And you know what? Barnabas means son of encouragement. He sold the field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. No one was in need. They didn't have to go for Social Security. No one was in need. I tell you, many years ago, the church depended upon God, and they had hospitals in Italy that depended solely upon God to provide each day. And guess what? He did. We have taken God for granted. We're into the state. I'm going to tell you, the state should not be helping us. It should be the church. But the church needs to be giving their life, all of us, to Jesus Christ and allowing us to share our goods with each other. Oh, yes. A man came the other day, and I knew what he was coming for. He was coming for money. And so I gave him a little. And I tell you, God has given me so much. So much has God given me. And yet, I want to be a giver rather than only a receiver. A giver rather than only a receiver. Chapter 5 of the Acts of the Apostles. But a man named Ananias, with the consent of his wife, Sapphira, sold a piece of property with his wife's knowledge. He kept back some of the proceeds and brought only a part and laid it at the apostles' feet. He didn't have to do it. He didn't have to do it. He could have kept it all for himself. Now he lies and says, I gave it all to God as I laid it all at the apostles' feet. Peter asked, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back part of the proceeds of the land? Keep back part of the proceeds of the land. Oh, yes. He lied against the Holy Spirit. While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, were not the proceeds at your disposal? In other words, you didn't have to lay it at the apostles' feet, but you laid it at the apostles' feet and said it was total what you got for it, and you lied to the Holy Spirit. How is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You did not lie to us, but you lied to God. Now when Ananias heard these words, he fell down and died. And great fear seized all who heard of it. The young men came and wrapped up his body, then carried him out and buried him. A lot of people won't read the fifth chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. They won't read it because they're saying, well, we don't want people to think. You see, I don't have to give anything to God, but I choose to give to God. I choose to give to God. It's my choice. I'm pro-choice when it comes to giving to God. I tell you, I warn people to know that they tithe and God opens the windows of heaven. But you see, you've got to have faith for this to happen. I remember a young man coming to me who had a ministry of music. And I remember while I was in the cemetery with him, I asked him if he tithed his money. He said, I can't even get by with what I make. I said, tithe your money. Give 10% to God and see what happens. He got more calls for him to do his music than he ever got. God opens the windows of heaven when we obey God. And you know what? We have made excuses in the church for collecting money. We need to be preaching tithing to all people. Oh yes, we need to be preaching tithing to all people. After an interval of about 3 hours, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened, that is, her husband dropped dead. Peter said to her, tell me whether you and your husband sold the land for such and such a price. And she said, yes, that was the price. Then Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to put the Holy Spirit of God to the test? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. You see, they didn't need to do any of this, but they lied to the Holy Spirit. They lied to the Holy Spirit. Oh God, help us to be so open to you and to the Holy Spirit. Oh yes, to be open to God and to be open to the Holy Spirit. And to do things in the name of Jesus, and to see the sick healed and delivered. You know, this virus was taken on the cross. Jesus defeated it on the cross. He defeated all of our sicknesses and infirmities. And you know what? Not many people will preach that, but it's true. This virus was conquered on the cross of Jesus Christ, on the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. This was conquered on the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Immediately, she fell down at his feet and died. And when the young men came in and found her dead, so they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Regina Caeli, Regina Caeli, laetare, alleluia. Rejoice. Regina Caeli, Regina Caeli, laetare, rejoice, laetare, alleluia. Resurrexit, sitcum dixit, resurrexit, sitcum dixit. Alleluia, alleluia. You know, as long as God is still on his throne and hears and answers prayer, and just as long as your faith in him is intact, everything's going to be all right. And that's the way it is. We have this hope that our Lord Jesus Christ has gone to the cross, that he bled for us, that he died for us, that he was buried for us, and that he rose from the dead for us. We have this hope, and it's as sure as this morning sunrise, that hope of the powerful death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He did it for you, and he did it for me. Do you know he's been raised from the dead? Do you know that he gives power to those who believe? Do you know, my Jesus? God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.